The translation of today's readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent. The epistle from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day. But neither do I judge my own self, for I am not conscious to myself of anything. Yet am I not hereby justified by he that judges me is the Lord? Therefore judge not before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise from God. A translation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Iturea, and the country of Tachidonitis and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord was made unto John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins. As it was written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain shall be made flat, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always gotten. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. If we always do what we've always done, then we will always get what we've always gotten. Dear Deacon, dear Abbe, and dear Faithful, 2 days before Christmas, consider these words of perhaps once again secular wisdom, and yet nonetheless true. If we always give what we've always given, we will always get what we've always gotten. We have 2 days. 2 days to prepare for the greatest gift that the world has ever received and could ever receive. This gift is the gift of God made flesh. A gift that we could see as we read in the gospel, that all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. We can see our salvation now because of Christmas, and we can touch it with our own hands, and we can smell it with our nose, we can taste it with our tongues. This is our faith, and this is the gift that we are preparing to receive in this great feast of the Incarnation, the feast of Christmas. The stage is set. And the main characters are here, present. But the drama has not yet begun, because God the Son has not yet come from the virgin womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and is not there before our eyes in order for us to see the salvation of our God. He is 2 days away, and we have 2 days to prepare in order to receive what he wishes to give to us. You don't know what's inside those packages under the Christmas tree. You don't know what God has planned for you. And yet, we are told that eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has ready for you who love him. 2 more days. Have we ever noticed how in the world Christmas ends on December 26th, right when our Lord has come, and right when he wishes for it to begin a celebration? The world stops. For many reasons, perhaps, but may it be also because the proportion of our celebration, the greatness of our feast, is proportionate to our preparation. And yet, if we have not prepared ourselves, perhaps over these past 4 weeks, through moments of weakness, moments of forgetfulness, moments of stress, moments where we have allowed the devil to distract us from the reception of this great gift, God gives us 2 more days. The church's liturgy for the past 7 days has been saying these very powerful prayers at the hour of Vespers. They are called the O Antiphons because for 7 days they exclaim O, followed by a Latin word that is a name of our Lord. O Rex, O King, O Adonai, God is with us. O Emmanuel, meaning the same, and so on and so forth. We are preparing to meet our Lord. And yet, if you were to take the first letter after O and spell it out, if you were to spell out the word that is given from the second letter of each one of those antiphons, spell them out and turn them around the way that God often does in our lives. He takes things and turns them around in order for us to see their value. Take that phrase and turn it around, and you will see the Latin phrase, ero cras, ero cras, which means, I will be here tomorrow. We conclude those prayers this very day, on the 23rd of December. And he tells us in advance that he will be there for us tomorrow when we will prepare at midnight to receive him into our hearts, into our souls, into the manger that God has given to us. Manger in French means a trough, a place where animals feed, a filthy, disgusting hole in the ground whereby the animals come to feed the slop that is put in front of them. And yet this is where God deigned from all of eternity to come into the world, into a manger. And he comes into the manger of our souls every time we receive the sacraments and we receive sanctifying grace. He cleanses that manger through the intercession of the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, who prepared that manger as best as they could to receive God the Son into this world. God the Son also allows them to prepare through their intercession our souls during these last 2 days. They have arrived in Bethlehem and they are awaiting the greatest day in history where God becomes flesh and dwells among us in order that we might have the glory of heaven now in our time and in our place and in our souls. If we have certain things still to do to prepare our souls, our homes for Christmas, it is not too late. God says that he will be there tomorrow, and yet how merciful he is to come at the 11th hour of tomorrow in order to give us all day to prepare for his coming. This is the mercy of the Incarnation. He wishes not to surprise us. He wishes not to surprise you. He wishes to prepare you through the sacraments and through prayer, so that when he comes, he might find the manger he has always longed for, your hearts, your souls, in order that the incarnation might now begin again in you, in order that you might take it to the world. This is our faith. This is our promise, and this is our glory, where we, as children of the incarnation, will reign with that infant king in the clouds of heaven forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.